Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
This is Goop Yourself, the podcast where we talk about everything Goop. I'm Brian Rucker.
And I'm Maggie Hewitt.
And welcome to our 100th episode of Goop Yourself.
It's our 100th episode.
It's also the 10th anniversary of Goop itself.
Yeah.
So the stars aligned.
Yeah. How did that happen?
I don't know. I guess we're just like in tune with the universe.
We're on the same cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We barely prepared for our 100th episode. Like, we barely prepare every week.
We talked about it for about 10 to 20 minutes before we started recording.
And since we didn't really like do anything special, what we decided to do is dive into our email history and just check to see like the first issue of Goop that we subscribed to. And talk about that and talk a little bit about our personal history with Goop.
Yeah.
Over these 10 years.
Our personal history with the brand.
Yeah. But first, the news.
Of course.
And by the news, I don't mean anything that's happening in the world because it's too fucking depressing. And I think both of us pretty much watched all those hearings all day yesterday.
That's all we did yesterday. It was just like sit.
Nothing done.
No, we just sat together and just watched MSNBC.
Like, and then I drank a lot last night.
And I went to work. And then I drank after. Oy, great. What a day.
But let's talk about, well, first there's gossip on the news that Brad and Gwyneth's wedding is going to be held this weekend in the Hamptons.
Yeah, and I would call that very likely. I don't think it's really it's gossip-ish, but it's basically happening.
That's how, yeah.
Yeah, like I think it's going to be tomorrow, which will be Saturday. Yeah.
It says sources told People, and when it's People, I feel like is the magazine.
People
that,
vets. Yeah. They vet their sources.
So this is happening probably tomorrow in the Hamptons. Be on your Instagram because maybe you'll catch a glimpse of Gwyneth and Brad.
Yeah, don't forget to check Instagram tomorrow, everybody. You're going to see, if you want to see pictures of a possible wedding that we think will happen, just look on Instagram.
There'll be some sort of hashtag.
There, yeah.
I would think.
Hashtag.
Or GP. Will it be super, will, do you think it'll be, it might be like really private, like they'll confiscate everyone's phones.
That's more likely. I don't think there'll be a hashtag at a regular wedding. Yeah. I think it'll be one of those things where like they take all the phones and then like they release like, you know, like two or three pictures. Like she'll release a couple pictures on Instagram and like maybe they'll, you know what I mean?
They'll probably
sell the pictures for a lot of money.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Or they could just put it on Goop. They'll probably put it on Goop next week and do another side of the Hamptons article. Be like, this is our wedding side of the Hamptons.
I know. This is back to the first side.
It looks like Brad's not going to leave her at the altar.
Yeah, I know. I'm glad to see that you were wrong about that.
And I just hope that they can all have a happy life together and the kids get, because I didn't realize Brad had kids from his first marriage, and then of course Apple and Moses, and then Chris is definitely going to be there.
Yeah, I just hope he doesn't walk her down the aisle. Are you sure about that?
That's what I heard, but that was not from People. That was from like a less reputable source, so
I don't know.
That would be so weird. Blythe would have to walk her down the aisle.
Elise Lunin?
Tracy Anderson.
Oh my god, no, Tracy Anderson. It's probably not invited. Ooh, oh, no, her. She's invited. No,
Tracy will be there. Jessica Seinfeld will be there.
Oh, Jessica Elise. Seinfeld will walk her down. It's probably the maid of honor.
Jessica Seinfeld, honor. I imagine, will be wearing like an Aretha Franklin level insane hat. That's.
I feel like Jessica Seinfeld will be like wearing a dress that's like just two shades darker than white. So she's like, oh, I'm not wearing white, but it'll be like kind of inappropriate.
And Jerry will be there, but like be so awkward and not talk to anyone and look like he's just having a miserable time.
Which he will be.
Or maybe he won't be there.
Maybe he won't go. That's like his Emmys, Brad Falchuk's Emmys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because she didn't go to the Emmys. So then if she doesn't go to the wedding, if she doesn't go to the Emmys, Jerry Seinfeld's not going to go to the wedding.
Yeah.
Do you think, I mean, Jay-Z and Beyonce will not be there probably.
I think they're over.
Yeah, I don't think they're that good of friends.
Yeah.
And Madonna obviously is not her friend anymore.
Oh, they had a falling out. And weren't they just friends through Tracy?
Yeah. And I think, I don't want to say this, but I feel like Madonna can't really keep a girlfriend.
Because,
you know, she had like Rosie O'Donnell, Sandra Bernhard. Like, they all have like horrible falling outs.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I bet Courtney Love will be there.
Do you think?
Courtney Love is like really good friends with Jean.
Oh, and Jean will be there. But like, to invite Courtney Love to your wedding, that would be a discussion. Because you're like, what's going to happen? Like, do you want that energy at your wedding?
Yeah, that might be a discussion. Because
we all have like that one friend who...
is kind of an asshole.
You never know, that could drink too much and make a scene.
Yeah.
And I imagine that might be Courtney.
Yeah, I think it's Courtney.
Jean will be there.
Of course, Jean will be there.
Yeah. Wow, I can't wait for these pictures.
I know, I'm so excited. I want to see the guest list, the pictures, her dress, everyone else's dresses, and that's it.
But she said on... I forget, because there were two Goop podcasts this week. So there was one that was just a long conversation with her and Elise Lunan about like the history of Goop, which was actually pretty really interesting. Good. And then there was a second one that was just Gwyneth interviewing Chrissy Teigen, which I
didn't really love.
I know it's like cliche, but Chrissy Teigen is delightful. Like, there's nothing you can't say anything bad about her.
I put it on. I like, my problem with Goop podcasts is like one of two things will happen. Either I will turn it on like first thing in the morning on Friday morning because I'll be like, okay, I have to listen to this podcast. And then it'll be like that really soothing music. And and then I just fall asleep. And then Elise is like, hi. And she's like all calm. And I'm just like, yeah. And I'm like still in bed and I fall back asleep. Yeah. So that's what happened last week. This week I listened to the one from last week. Then I listened to the new one from this week.
Okay.
And... they were both really good. And then I was like, forgot about this. I couldn't get three in. That's There's all. You know, it's just a lot. But I got two in and they were both great.
I recommend listening, especially if you're into, Goop history.
Yeah. If you're
the origin story.
If you're a Goop historian, as we are.
And it did seem like Elise and her have a real friendship.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, Gwyneth asked her if she wanted to go dance after, like, workout.
Oh, yeah.
Which I wonder, like, what do they mean dance? Like, is it like a trait? Like, because Tracy
class.
Anderson does like that cardio dance thing that she made up.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if it's that or if it's like some sort of, if like that's how she describes like bar. What is it?
Well, I don't want to blow up this guy's spot, but one of our listeners.
Oh my God. I just found out about this because I'm terrible at checking the Instagram. But yeah, I just.
I won't
out.
Say who it was or what city it was in.
Because we don't know.
One of our listeners spotted Gwyneth at a workout class.
Yeah.
Remember the class? They profiled it on Goop.
Yes, they did. And she was actually in one, which is amazing. I mean, I assume that she did all of her workouts in private, maybe with Tracy Anderson only or something. I don't know.
No, she's with the people.
Yeah. They're just like
moving
us.
And shaking. Yeah.
Yeah. She's got to get ready for her wedding.
Oh, right. I wonder if she's doing more. She must be doing like more workouts than usual.
I guess.
But she always looks perfect. So what?
She's always red carpet ready.
Yeah, she is. And this is just another red carpet for her.
That's right.
She's probably not even nervous. Like your second marriage. I don't know. Are you that nervous? Who knows?
Probably more nervous.
Maybe. Because it's like if this one doesn't work out.
Then you're fucked.
Yep. Then you're Blythe Danner. No, that's mean.
What? Her husband died.
Passed away.
But did she marry twice?
No. She's been single for 16 years.
Yeah.
I really want to know what she's wearing.
Well, apparently, according to Gwyneth, it won't be good because she's not a fashion plate, which I thought was a kind
that
of
was
a rude thing
shade.
To say about your mother.
I mean, if you're like, yeah, she was like, oh, my mom is not a fashion plate. But like in her generation, in that sort of like actor's studio, New York, like that wasn't what
the fashionable thing was to be unfashionable. Yeah. Like to be like, I don't care about things like that was like the cool thing to
like,
do.
Look at old. If you look at old pictures from the Oscars in the 70s or 80s, everyone looks like. Garbage.
Well, the 70s were rough.
It was rough.
Yeah. But one thing I really liked that I learned from the podcast was when she was talking about the conscious uncoupling thing, and when she explained like what she meant by that and like what their plan was and like how they did it and why they did it. And she admits that she was vulnerable and she was like embarrassed that she called it that. I thought it was great. I like totally understood what she was saying. And I thought it was amazing that they were like trying to do that.
Yeah.
Basically what it was just like, they had to acknowledge that like they had children together and like they were going to like really put their children first. And like they had to discuss what that meant and what that looked like and like how involved they would have to be in one another's lives because they were like really committed to like their kids. And I just, and that's why, I mean, maybe she shouldn't have called it that, but I don't think that it was like, we're doing divorce better, which is what she said was like the criticism of that.
Yeah, no, she never, I think, consciously means to like sound superior to everyone, but I think, and there's no way around it. She just, because she's Gwyneth Paltrow, because she
is superior.
Is like, yeah, well, because she looks the way she looks and she is, you know, famous and wealthy, like, when she puts that out, when she talks about her own life, it's natural for people to feel like she is putting them down. Or if,
yeah,
you know, cause not every divorce can be conscious uncoupling, can be clean. There's really hurtful things. There's abuse, there's money issues, there's lots of stuff. So it's like, it's not attainable for everyone. So I don't think she was, yeah, she wasn't like being malicious or rubbing it in people's noses, but I understand why people felt that way.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was cool. Yeah. I was like, wow, I thought that was really impressive. Because I know that's not easy. Like a lot, most divorce, I think, has a lot of like pain associated with it. So like to force yourself to like be around that person and like seem nice around them, obviously. And like if there's abuse and stuff, you shouldn't do a conscious uncoupling.
No. let's talk about diets for a second.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, is there anything to talk about? Do you have anything to talk about?
Nope.
Okay. So I am starting keto on Monday.
I'm so excited for you and jealous.
And I had, you know, I had my fasting labs. I got my blood taken yesterday morning. So right now I'm in the middle of my pre-keto Rumspringa.
I know. I've heard about it.
And I feel like shit already.
Really?
Because as soon as I got my blood taken yesterday morning, I got like a bacon, egg, and cheese on a brioche at the little bakery next door to my doctor's office.
That sounds good.
Very good. Village Bakery in Atwater Village.
Oh, yeah.
Recommend it. Then I proceeded to hang out with you for a while.
Yeah.
And then I went home and watched more of those stupid hearings and wanted to drink and saw that I had a grapefruit sitting in my fridge. So I just like blended my grapefruit up with tequila and a little maple syrup and ice and made like two big Palomas.
That's kind of healthy.
Well, it gets worse from there.
Okay.
Then I got out my Domino's app.
Oh, God.
And ordered some Domino's pizza.
What kind?
Okay. So this is a great secret that I'm going to share with everyone. I did not think of this. This actually comes from the Netflix food show Ugly Delicious that David Chang has. This is his Domino's order.
Okay.
So it's if you like that really thin Alsatian flatbread, I forget what it's called, but it's like a Alsatian pizza. So this is the Domino's way to mimic that. You get the extra thin crust.
Okay.
And then you just put, instead of tomato sauce, you put the garlic cream sauce on and then just bacon and onions. And the thin, and it's so good.
No cheese.
No. Well, regular cheese. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's the garlic cream sauce, regular cheese, bacon, and onions.
Huh.
So I got that. I got, you know, they have those, like, you get two medium deal. You know. So that was one
that
of them.
That was one.
And then, to be fair, my husband ate some and also we had some for breakfast. So it's that's not okay. Like, it's no, not like I ate two medium pizzas.
We order two pizzas a lot because of that deal. Oh, yeah. And we just like have it left over. Totally.
So then the other one I got, because John and I like different. So we both like that one. But the other one, we like different pizza toppings. So I got the regular regular crust is. My go-to, pepperoni and pineapple.
Mine too.
Very controversial. You like it too?
Okay. I love it.
I love it. Pepperoni, pineapple.
But and, you told me to get it. Yeah. And I've never looked back.
It's a weird thing with my family. We've always liked, like, I think my dad was the one who liked it. And I don't think my mom really likes it. But like me and my sister, just growing up, we would always get pepperoni and pineapple.
I always got pineapple. I didn't know that pepperoni would be such a perfect
addition.
It's
so much better than ham and pineapple.
So much better.
Pineapple is the classic, but the spicy and the salty of the pepperoni with the sweetness of the pineapple is way better.
You got to try it.
And also extra cheese. Domino's, for the regular crust, you need extra cheese.
You heard it here on the Goop
and
Yourself
then the
podcast.
Other side, John, for John, I just got sausage and peppers because that's what he likes.
That all sounds good.
And then I proceeded to drink from my Palomas. I went to Sauvignon Blanc, and after that, a little whiskey. I watched the new Nicole Holofcener movie on Netflix called The Land of Steady Habits, which was pretty depressing. And then I guess I just passed out because I don't remember what happened after that. So and then I had a pumpkin spice latte this morning. Wow, so I am sugared up.
Yeah, wow.
It's all happening, and it's all going to stop happening in a couple of days, so I'm fine with it.
Yeah. I had two big glasses of rosé and a Lean Cuisine, and then I watched Dancing with the Stars, and then I cried.
Yeah.
That was basically my night.
It was a horrible day for our country, really.
It was a nightmare.
It was, and we don't know what's happening. Apparently, who knows? By the time this happens, he might be on the Supreme Court, or by the time this is released, he might be on the Supreme Court. He might be dead. I mean, I probably shouldn't say this, but I wanted him to just shoot himself in the head while he was screaming yesterday on live on camera.
I was like slightly afraid that like something crazy like that would happen.
He was unhinged. And I was like, I mean,
he was unhinged.
That would have been crazy, but
it wouldn't have been
the worst thing in the world.
I mean, we don't want to talk about it, but I've just never seen somebody act so, I mean, that red face screaming, and he's like, I've never seen a judge like that before in my life. Anyway.
Let's not talk about that anymore. Let's get into, before we get into the current newsletters, let's take a deep dive into our email history and see what our first.
Wait. Sonal Lathan has a new show.
Breaking news.
Yeah. It's on Netflix. And she's the star of it.
So this is maybe bringing her up to A-list. This is
at least B.
This is, if you guys are regular listeners of our show, you realize that this is the actress from Love and Basketball and The Best Man, who was most recently in the news for biting Beyonce.
Yeah.
And we disparaged her a little on the podcast, and we got some blowback. But now it looks like everyone's winning, because what is her show on Netflix?
Okay, I'm wrong. I'm just looking it up right now. It's a movie on Netflix.
Oh, that's good.
That's like even better, maybe. It's called Napoli Ever After.
Oh, I saw that on my little queue.
I drove by a billboard for it, and I was like, oh my God, we were wrong about Sonal Lathan. Yeah. And then I saw like somebody posted about it on Instagram that they really liked it. It's a comedy drama / romance. And it's about a soulful barber. A soulful barber helps a woman piece her life back together after an accident at her hair salon makes her realize she's not living life to the fullest. I don't know. I think it sounds good, kind of, honestly. And the poster is really pretty.
No, I saw it. Yeah, she looks great in the poster.
And it's like she's like there's like flowers all around her and stuff. I don't know. Netflix, I'm going to watch it.
Netflix has been killing it with these romantic comedies lately.
Yeah, well, this is a romantic drama.
Romantic drama. I personally watched both drama. Set It Up and To All the Boys I Loved Before. And I am in the minority thinking both of them were not that great. But
oh, yeah. I haven't seen any of those.
Yeah.
I never watched those. But I'll watch this because.
So we got on Netflix, Napoli Ever After, starring Sonal Lathan, and also the movie I saw last night, The Land of Steady Habits, written and directed by Nicole Holofcener, starring Ben Mendelsohn, Edie Falco, Connie Britton. Another sort of romantic drama, sort of sad movie, but definitely worth watching.
Is that a Netflix one too?
Netflix, yeah.
All right, I got to get on these Netflix movies.
All right.
Okay, sorry, so, I just had to get that out
there.
Yeah,
hey, some breaking Sonal Lathan news.
It's very important, yeah.
Back to the A-list.
Okay.
Diets. Oh, yes. Monday. So, no, I already
talked about
this.
Talked about that. We're sorry. You were just about to unveil, start the show, and I stopped you. Okay. We were going to get into our first newsletters.
Yes. First newsletters. Go back in time to Aggie. What year was your first newsletter? So Goop, sorry, Goop started in 2008.
It started in 2008. The first Goop newsletter I found in my inbox was from October 28th, 2010.
All right.
I got it at 6:38 a.m. that morning. Just to set the scene for you, I was living in Chicago. I was writing a play about Lizzie Borden. I was very stressed out about it. And I was having fun with my friends. And the Goop newsletter said, it's Goop Make. Oh, so the old Goop newsletters used to just be like, they have like make, do, see, be, or whatever the categories. You used to just get one a week. So like this one was a Goop Make, and it was a newsletter about something that you could make, and it was Brunch with the Barefoot Contessa. So there's a little like paragraph from Goop, from GP herself, about like how much she loves the Barefoot Contessa and like whatever. And then there's a recipe for herbed ricotta bruschetta, I guess. Is that how you spell that?
That's like the plural. Yeah, bruschetta, like bruschette, ending with an E is the plural of bruschetta ending with an A, I think. So that's actually probably correct if you're making multiple bruschetta.
Well, I guess that's what you're doing here. And it's a big, like, it's a not a light recipe. I mean, there's like heavy cream and milk and just like lots of things that aren't particularly Goopy, I guess, but I think they have a lot of recipes that they put out that are just like kind of good recipes. They're not all like what people think, you know. I mean, you know.
Oh, you know, listeners. We know, we all know.
We all know, yeah. But this has a recipe for homemade ricotta in it, which actually now I'm at a point in my life where I would make this. It's 4 cups of whole milk, 2 cups of heavy cream, a teaspoon of kosher salt, and 3 tablespoons of good white wine vinegar.
You know what that sounds like? Keto friendly.
Oh, yeah. That will be keto friendly for sure.
Not the bruschetta unless I make it out of like almond flour.
Well, just like eat it out of a bowl. Yeah.
God, this is going to be my next month, eating garbage out of a bowl.
You're going to love it.
I know, I love it.
And drink hard liquor. You can drink as much hard liquor as you want.
Really?
It's no carbs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right. So my first, this was actually back in 2008. I did not even subscribe to Goop back then, but I guess I was planning, this is the year I must have been planning a Thanksgiving for just like a Friendsgiving for me and my friends in Brooklyn. And I sent this Thanksgiving Goop newsletter to both myself and a couple friends. And it's just, yeah, the first, I guess, first annual Goop Thanksgiving issue. They have a few menus, Thanksgiving for a crowd, Thanksgiving for a small crowd, and Thanksgiving for two. The Thanksgiving for two is very funny. It's just stuffed turkey burgers with cranberry ketchup and pumpkin ice cream.
You know what? Thanksgiving for two sounds like a dream.
I know, right?
Oh, God.
And I honestly don't even know if I ended up making anything from here or if I was just sort of being like, oh, my God, Gwyneth has a blog talking about Thanksgiving. But that was the first mention of Goop in my email. And then the first, I didn't actually start subscribing to Goop until February of 2011.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And so the first one that I got in 2011 was a Goop Go, and it was just a Hong Kong guide, which was sort of interesting because I ended up going to Hong Kong almost 2 years after that, and I don't remember researching like or going back and looking at the Goop guide to Hong Kong, but I guess I should have. That was sort of boring to talk about this. So the next one I got was a little more interesting, and this was the Goop C, which I think that just is like her, just like a grab bag of recommendations.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is more indicative of what Goop was later to become. So she, it's sort of like a proto this and that, honestly.
But this, there have been like two this and that. Yeah, I mean, this whatever.
But like this actually was coming from Gwyneth Paltrow. These are
she wrote them. Yeah.
So she talks about a blog that she liked called You Are the River, which I checked and still is up and running.
Good for them.
A Barbara Hill Design, which is like a a design company. I don't know. Some chandelier that she liked called the Lindsay Edelman Series Chandelier.
That's so cool.
Sufjan Stevens' All Delighted People EP, which is extremely 2011. Yeah. And then some seared tuna lettuce cups from a cookbook called Seasons by Donna Hay.
I mean, like, what a great thing to get. Why? Who wouldn't subscribe to this newsletter?
That's like anything that you would want. I mean, can you just imagine 2011 sitting by the LA River, listening to Sufjan Stevens, eating some tuna lettuce cups? Dream.
Heaven. I mean, but that's what I want from this. I miss these old days of the Goop newsletter where it was just like an email with some recommendations from Gwyneth Paltrow. Yeah. I mean, like, that's what I want. Now it's like these newsletters are so dense. There's so much in them.
They're like, yeah, like scientific journals without the science. I think, I mean, this is Elise Lunin's doing. And I love Elise.
I think so too.
But she's the one who, I mean, she's the head of content. So she's really like,
she's upping their game.
She's upping their game in a way that is sometimes too much.
It's a lot.
Like, yeah, an album, a recipe, a blog. That's all you need.
Yeah.
That's all I want.
I know. Mine was just seriously like one recipe from the Barefoot Contessa.
Yeah, that was a whole week.
It was a whole week's newsletter. And then my second one is from Dr. Frank Lipman on how to overcome your sugar addiction.
Ooh, an early health
guide. And it's kind of like, you know, eat regular foods, choose whole foods, have a breakfast of protein, fat, and phytonutrients. And phytonutrients are not something we hear about from Goop in the modern era.
This is a key word that I guess was big early this decade.
I mean, it must have been
phytonutrients. I believe that now we just call them adaptogens.
No, they're not, because adaptogens are like specific things that are like in herbs and stuff. Phytonutrients are in like every, like any healthy food. They're in,
so
like,
just like vitamins.
It's like it's like stuff that would be in like fruit, vegetables, like even whole grains. Like a lot of food has it's just like the nutrients, I think, in food, but in like non like shitty food.
Wow, what a time capsule.
Yeah, really interesting. I mean, I don't know how much they were talking about phytonutrients at the time, but I just know I don't see it anymore.
No. And interesting that he also recommends like protein, carbs, and fat in the same meal.
Well, he didn't recommend carbs.
Oh, he didn't?
He said fat and phytonutrients, which might actually just be his nice way of saying carbs, because like... Because like that's like fruit or whole grains would be like carbs. And then the typical breakfast is full of carbs and sugary or starchy foods. And that's the worst option. Yeah. And we're still hearing that, aren't we?
Yeah. I mean, think of in 2010 how radical this was, and now how everyone's just accepted this as
that's
the truth.
Just fact now. Yeah.
So Goop is ahead of the curve. Just like Gwyneth said.
She's right.
Anyone who goes out on a limb is just pillaged by people. And they turn out to be right. Like Joan of Arc, Rosa Parks, and Gwyneth Paltrow.
That's right.
And Sanaa Lathan.
And Sanaa.
Cool. Well, that was fun for us. Hopefully it was fun for you.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this newsletter. This is the 10th anniversary newsletter of Goop.
Yeah.
And it's just sort of a little celebration of themselves. And
of everything that is Goop.
They deserve it.
They're just sort of looking back on their years and just sending out a couple. This is actually pretty similar to like one of the early days. Like it's pretty, there wasn't a lot in it.
Yeah, no, it was, I mean, they probably, I mean, we know Gwyneth's busy because she's getting married this weekend.
Yeah, so she doesn't care.
And all the big people that work at Goop are probably flying to the wedding. So I don't think a lot of people were in the office this week.
I think they've had this like up their sleeve for months.
It's sort of like when Sheena gets married on Vanderpump Rules and they have to close Sir because no one is there.
No one's
work.
There. That's romantic.
So what was your best?
Okay. So my best was actually not in the newsletter. Okay. It was the picture of Gwyneth Paltrow, an apple that Gwyneth posted on Instagram.
Oh, yes.
She posted an amazing picture of herself and Apple. They both looked great.
So Apple is 14.
Apple is like a beautiful model. And I had just listened to the podcast, and I like really felt that I got like how much she loves her children, and like I think she does so much for them, and like what a perfectionist she is. I don't know. I was like,
but she said on the podcast she doesn't want to be a perfectionist, or that might have.
No, she doesn't want to be one, but she is one.
She is,
it's like something she has to overcome. But she wrote, "Happy National Daughter's Day, Apple Martin. It's like I conjured you from a dream. You make my life." And I just think that's so beautiful. And she just loves her daughter so much. And her daughter is like this like perfect little beautiful little thing. You're making a face.
No, well, I'm just, to be honest, she's so beautiful and ethereal looking. I don't like to say I'm intimidated by a 14-year-old girl.
Okay.
But I would be completely intimidated by her. I think she reminds me of girls I went to school with who I was like intimidated by at the time. And yeah, so that was my first reaction, was like, oh, it's too much beauty.
Oh, because mine was just like, there they are off in their own world and I'm safe behind my phone. Yeah. Like, I didn't feel like I was like if this was real life and like these people were actually looking at me like this, I would be like running in the opposite direction, but it's not. So I'm just like, this is so sweet. I really connected with Gwyneth this week.
Sure.
And that was part of it. So that was my best.
Yeah. And like, guys, we all know this, but you'll be hearing a lot from Apple Martin. Like, this is someone.
Oh, she's going to be a huge star.
Yeah. Whatever. I mean, we all know she does Blackbird better than the Beatles.
Yeah. The most beautiful rendition of Blackbird anyone's ever heard.
She's obviously as pretty, if not more pretty than her mother.
Yeah. It's like, she's gorgeous.
She could, I mean, yeah, the world is her oyster. If she wants to be an actor, a singer, a model, a scientist, I'm sure she'll, I mean, if she wants to be a scientist, she'll win the Nobel Prize.
She'll be the best scientist there ever was.
Yeah. So, wow. So yeah, keep an eye out. I'm sort of amazed that they've kept her under wraps this much now. Like,
she's only 14.
Why isn't she in Stranger Things or something?
She doesn't want to.
Yeah, I guess not.
She's just like chilling out with her dad playing like guitar.
Yeah, that's true. All right. So my best was a little article called The Goop Origin Story, A Timeline.
Oh, and really? I didn't even realize that was an article. I just thought it was like a series of like images.
They really, like, if you are not a Goop scholar like us, and you're coming to, well, everyone who's listening to this obviously is, but if you're coming to Goop for the first time, you could do worse than just clicking on this story and seeing sort of what the history of Goop is, and where it's going to go from here. So they do a little, like, they do a little joke. I mean, they start at like the beginning of time.
They do? I thought they started like when she was born.
They start, they start right before, they start, oh, BN is before newsletter. So then so they start in 1971 when the first person emails himself. So it's computer scientist Ray Tomlinson uses the @ sign to send himself an email. Then in 1972, GP is born, and then and then it skips to 1994, and GP films Jefferson in Paris. And I never saw that movie. I think that's the movie that is extremely problematic, that's like this great love story between Thomas Jefferson and Sally Hemings.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's the one. I know that was like Dandy Newton's first big part.
Oh.
And it was like as if it was this romantic drama between a slave and her master. And so I think Gwyneth might play like Jefferson's daughter or something. I have no idea.
Ugh.
But that was in Goop history. That was the first time she had ever asked the crew of her movie for recommendations for local cafes and restaurants. And so that was sort of the beginning.
That was
her,
when she, yeah,
of her like being a maven, for recommendations for things. Then it goes to 1997 where she, is the first time she bakes a gluten-free, sugar-free, dairy-free muffin.
Okay.
And her father says, it's like biting into the New York Times.
Wow.
But, I mean, he's, you know, he's a funny guy.
But I guess that meant it was bad. Because yeah, now all of her recipes are really good.
Yeah, no, I mean, you can't be good at something the first time you try it.
I thought that she was.
And then they go into her doing the Master Cleanse, her doing her iconic cupping marks at the Anchorman premiere in 2004.
That was longer ago than I thought.
Yeah, I thought so too. I didn't realize that was before Goop.
Yeah.
Then her first workout with Tracy Anderson in 2007, and then 2008 was when Goop started. And then
That sounds
so like,
about right.
It was a good a good stroll down memory lane.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think like obviously even before Goop, Gwyneth was a lightning rod for criticism.
Mm-hmm.
So it's she's been dealing with this her whole life, and she's really done something special.
Yeah, she's done something great here, and we all appreciate it.
And I won't go through everything else. So then there's like the after newsletter part where it just, you know, we all know it's all good. It's all easy.
It's all this. It's all that.
Yeah. Beauty, yeah. Goop, clothes, Goop, whatever. Goop makeup. Oh, and then randomly they talk a lot about like, I guess they have like four Kevins that work at their office. And so they go through each when each Kevin was hired.
I think they're just goofing off. Yeah, they're goofing off. Goofing around, having some fun.
But take a look. You might learn something.
Yeah.
What was your worst?
My worst was the tuna sandwich.
I don't even remember that.
There's a recipe. There's like an article that's like tuna pancakes, a tuna sandwich, and like some dinner, like sesame chicken or something.
Oh, it was like detox stuff or just?
It was, no, there was a good detox that was like their best of detox, but no, this is just like, I don't know. It was just like recipes that they had then and then they like updated them. Okay. But I couldn't find the old versions of them. So it's just an Asian tuna sandwich with soy sauce and sesame mayo. Not that it sounds bad or anything. I'm just like, I don't believe that Gwyneth Paltrow eats sandwiches. I can't imagine it. And it's like, looking at this sandwich at like this huge piece of bread that it's on. Like, I can't eat that. I mean, I cannot eat a sandwich that big. Yeah. It would all stay with me forever. Like, so why are they telling me to do this? I don't understand, because I thought that this was all about like being healthy. And I just don't think that if you want to be like Gwyneth Paltrow, I'm sorry, I don't think you can eat a sandwich.
I mean, like, yeah, you can't eat a sandwich every day. I don't think she eats this tuna sandwich. Maybe this is more like, this is for the hubby and kids type of recipe.
Maybe, but it's not like tuna salad. It's kind of like a sophisticated, like it's a big piece of tuna. It's like,
yeah, I don't know. Or you take one of the slices of bread off. I get it though. Like she tries to pretend like she is omnivorous and she eats healthy things and unhealthy things. And it's all just rolling.
It's all good. It's all easy.
But yeah, no, I don't think she's eating this giant hunk of bread.
I mean, it's a huge sandwich. It's like a huge.
That's like a big. I mean, that's the type of sandwich that I would eat.
I mean, it doesn't look like a bad sandwich. Yeah. It just is a big sandwich.
And it's like a whole ciabatta.
It's a whole, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, worst. What was yours?
Mine, oh God, mine was the one sponsored by Ralph Lauren Polo.
Oh yeah, that was bad too.
It was called Four Women, 50 Years of Ralph Lauren. And it was just like four random women, two of whom I think work at Goop and two of them do not. And they're just like, it was as if they were like held at gunpoint being like, wear Ralph Lauren, talk about it. And they had these little quotes about their style. So, you know, it's like, oh, my style's minimal and feminine. And also like, Ralph Lauren clothes are so fucking boring to me. Yeah. Like they're just like, it's just like, get some creativity. I don't know.
And I can't believe it's only 50 years old. Is that really? It's only 50 years old?
Yeah, because he's alive. Like, it's not like he's a
Christian
Dior or something. Yeah, he's.
Oh, yeah, because he's always saying like fucked up stuff, right? Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that.
I think he is. He probably. I think so.
And then.
Don't quote me on it, but I think I heard that.
An old white man saying fucked up stuff?
Well,
can you imagine?
Yeah.
And then Goop's like copy editing or fact checking. We all know they don't hire fact checkers.
They won't hire fact checkers.
And this poor woman, Lauren Stovall, who is just an associate at the Goop lab. So she doesn't even work at the main like Goop office. She's just like
works in the store. She's
in the store.
Sales
clerk,
yeah.
And she says a very, like someone should have caught this mistake. She says, my personal style would fall somewhere between 1996 Christy Turlington and the Berlusconi film Stealing Beauty. So Berlusconi was the prime minister of Italy. Bertolucci is an Italian filmmaker who is also a sexual predator.
Oh my God.
And directed Liv Tyler in the film Stealing Beauty. But there is no Berlusconi film named Stealing Beauty.
Wow.
And I was like, someone should have caught that. I don't blame her because we all have a slip of the tongue.
Sure.
But this should have not made it to
print.
No.
Nope.
Yeah, that's all I got
to say.
That's
good.
About that.
That's good. Eagle eye.
Eagle eye. I mean, hey, when, you can't get your Italian sexual predators mixed up.
No.
Some are in politics, some are in film.
Just like here.
Mm-hmm. All right. What was your craziest or saddest?
My craziest was that there was this walk down memory lane with all of their brand of like like beauty products.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And their greatest hits, their top 10 bestsellers. Top 10 bestsellers. And coming in at number two was Goop Glow, which for some reason you and I had always like kind of joked was like nobody was buying it, and they were, that's why like they give it away all the time and stuff. And like I just sort of didn't really think that it was like, and like they push it so hard, I just didn't, I thought that they were like kind of trying to sell it because it wasn't selling itself, but apparently I'm wrong and it's like their number two bestseller of all time.
Well, we don't know how accurate they could really put anything they want on this list. There's no sort of objective data saying.
Is it legal to sell something as a bestseller if it's not?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
I don't think there's any like scientific, because you could say this is a bestseller, we sold a lot of it, and there's no criteria for bestseller.
Interesting.
I don't think.
Well, yeah, there is. It's the thing that you sell the most of.
Oh, hence best. Yeah, yeah, I guess. So maybe it is, but that makes sense to me that like out of all the things.
Yeah.
Who knows how much they sell of it, but it's probably more than.
Well, it's more than Vintner's Daughter, which is number three. I
was Vintner's Daughter was number three because it's so expensive.
It's very popular. Well, the number one is the exfoliating instant facial, which is $125. This one is how much? Yeah. Vintner's Daughter is what? Oh, they don't even say. What is it? Oh, it's $185.
Which someone else on Instagram, because they heard us talking about Vintner's Daughter and me specifically like coveting it. And it got a bad review from one of our listeners on
really?
Instagram. She was saying it is not worth the $185. So that made me feel a little better about not having it.
Honestly, like I've gotten a couple of these expensive things, the Tata Harper and stuff, and they're great. But like once the novelty wears off, you kind of realize like this isn't changing my life and it's a huge like investment.
I have to say my like $12 vitamin C serum that I bought on Amazon, I feel like is better than any expensive one I've ever gotten.
Well, now I'm just using all stuff from the French pharmacy.
There you go.
Which was cheap. Oh God, what a dream.
So I don't have a craziest. There wasn't that much crazy.
Yeah.
I do have a saddest.
Oh, that's good.
And the saddest is me.
What?
Because I looked at like they had all these detox recipes and I realized on my new keto journey in October, I won't even be able to eat the detox recipe. I guess, but I'll be able to eat better than the detox recipes.
Well, look, keto, it's not a detox.
No, it's not a detox.
It's, you're toxing it up. You're just kind of trying to lose weight. That's all it is.
The only one that I could eat, I think, is the cauliflower and kimchi fried rice, which sounds so bad. I love cauliflower. Well, I don't love cauliflower. I like cauliflower fine. But cauliflower rice is, I just would rather have nothing or like have, I don't know.
Like florets or something. I'd rather just eat cauliflower.
Yeah, just some nice cauliflower. Yeah. Like why mush it into rice? And it's so, I guess you could buy like the pre-riced cauliflower bags, but like rice and cauliflower is so time consuming. You have to chop it up. You have to put it in the food processor. It's so time consuming.
It's a waste of time.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I did it when I was on Whole30 a couple of times and it's like watery mush. It doesn't, it's like, I take that back. I've made fried rice with it. That was really good.
I guess if you fry it up and make it crispy.
Yeah, fried rice was good. And then I've also, oh my God. Actually, when I was on keto, I would sometimes just make cauliflower rice that I bought pre-riced. And I would put this like four cheese Trader Joe's like pasta sauce on top of it.
Oh my God.
Because it was like keto friendly.
So it's just like cauliflower Alfredo?
Yeah, and it was really good.
That sounds really good. All right. Okay. I changed my mind. I will be doing that.
Okay.
What would you try?
Oh, there actually are two, both from their that detox thing. They're like best of detox or whatever. Because I've done their detoxes and I've made detox recipes before, of course. But I've never made this cult favorite, the teriyaki chicken.
Oh yeah,
which like looks really good, really light, and it's like their special detox chicken and people love it. And then
there's a fair amount of sugar in it,
but the other thing that I also meant to do, this was on my last detox, but I don't think that I made it for some reason. Like I guess I just like didn't get around to it or something. But, or maybe I did make it. I don't know. It was their salad with carrot and ginger dressing. I haven't made that carrot ginger dressing, but I really want to. It looks really good.
God, I love carrot ginger dressing.
Oh, really? I've never had it. I don't even know. I didn't know it was a type of dressing.
It's like a very old, like hippie type of.
Really?
Yeah. Like, God, now I can't think of the name, but when I was in college, there was like a vegetarian restaurant right by NYU that everyone went to because it was like you could get like a full meal for like $4.
Uh-huh.
And they served everything with their... Oh, it's called Dojo's. Mm-hmm. And I think it's closed now, unfortunately, like everything in New York. But yeah, it was like an old holdover from like the 70s in the Village, and they served everything with this carrot ginger dressing.
Oh.
And you could just get like their veggie burger, quote unquote, was just like a block of like unflavored tofu.
Oh, yeah.
With like sprouts and carrot dressing. And I don't know. I love that food.
Yeah.
Like,
are you still reading that book?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I read a few more chapters. There's a chapter on brown rice. There was a chapter on wheat bread. And right now I'm about to start the chapter on tofu.
This actually sounds really good.
It's
I
really
want to read
fascinating.
It.
I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah.
Hippie Food by Jonathan Kaufman.
Yeah, I'm going to get it.
So the thing I would try was the very first, I guess it was the very first recipe that Goop put in their newsletter. It's a turkey ragu from 2008.
Hmm.
And it's just a pretty simple recipe. Like it's, ground turkey with, you know, tomatoes and carrots, like a, you know, a ragu, obviously. And then, red wine and rosemary and fennel, which I think is a little non-traditional,
yeah,
but it sounds really good. And what made it, I thought, the best little instruction in the recipe was it said to let the turkey come up to room temperature before you cook it, because then it will, like if you cook cold turkey, apparently it'll just sort of boil itself in its own water. And if you cook room temperature turkey, it'll actually crisp up.
Wait, so it's raw? And you bring it to room temperature?
That's what they say. Which
isn't that like
I mean,
the danger zone?
That is the danger zone. But I guess Italian people.
Are you sure that's what
doing,
they say?
That's what they say.
Don't know if we want to stand. I don't know if that's a good idea.
It's an asterisk. And it says, I read in Giorgio Locatelli's cookbook. So it was a real Italian guy that meat sears and browns when you fry it at room temperature, whereas it boils in its own juice when it's cold. He is absolutely right. Obviously. The turkey browns quickly and deeply, giving it lots of flavor. So, I'm going to try it.
Don't try
Maybe
it.
Maybe it'll be the best turkey I ever have. Maybe I will die of salmonella. The jury's still out. But, hey. To be honest, I think these, like, airborne, meatborne illnesses are a little overblown. Like, okay.
We're going to get sued
if
now.
If you're buying, like, good quality organic turkey...
No.
It's not going to have like worms and shit in it, right?
Worms aren't. Well, actually, organic, I think, is more likely to have worms. Also, it's not worms. It's salmonella.
Yeah, whatever.
And that's bacteria, and it can come from any. It can be in any meat you get.
Vegetable. This is just Big Turkey trying to scare you.
Big Turkey? No, they want you to buy turkey.
Yeah, that's true. Or like, I don't like the defrost something in the fridge. It takes like 2 days to do that. What if you want to make it that day?
You run it under hot water.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Well, we'll see. I think it's a good tip.
It's a good tip, I guess.
Because I like seared turkey.
But I just want to say I would never do it, and I don't recommend that anybody else does it.
I have a strong stomach. I can handle it.
All right.
What would you buy?
I would buy. Wow, we're at buy already from the Paris Pharmacy Guide, the French Pharmacy.
Yeah.
This is another example of them listening to us, because we were just talking about French pharmacies, and I've been talking about French pharmacies.
I know.
And they came.
And you were
another
in France.
One.
I am going to France.
And I went to a French pharmacy, and I spent quite a bit of money. But there, some of these things, like, I don't know. No, I didn't see any of these things in a French pharmacy. And they're like more. Well, some of them I did. Some of them I didn't. But the thing that seemed really cool to me is the, I don't know how to say it, Darphin. D-A-R-P-H-I-N.
Yeah, Darphin.
Face oil. Vetiver, geranium, and French lavender. And it just sounds like a total dream. Like, I would love this as a face oil. But it's not, like, pharmacy price. It's $75.
Yeah, I imagine it's similar to American, like, like there's regular stuff and then there's a Goop level stuff that is not going to be in every French pharmacy.
Probably.
Like it's an upscale. And a lot of the stuff you can just get on Goop. So I don't know how it's like, I'm sure it is French, but I'm not sure how like French it is. Like if you just, like
it doesn't look like the stuff that I saw when I was in France when I was like shopping for this stuff.
Cause probably
it's, like it, some of it does.
Yeah. Cause like there's the French version of CVS or whatever is not going to have this.
Well, they have like French like pharmacies that just have shit like this. And there's like this brand, they had like Caudalie, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
That brand I saw. Oh, okay. And then also the first one, they also have it in America, the Avene or whatever. They have that in America too, but they had like a ton of that in the French pharmacies. But I don't know if I really saw these other brands. Maybe I just wasn't looking in the right places. Don't know.
Who knows? My thing I would buy also comes from this French pharmacy article, and it is number 9. It is the Caudalie, which I guess is more common.
Yeah.
The Caudalie Vinopure Skin Perfecting Mattifying Fluid.
Mm.
Smoothed onto skin morning and night, this lightweight moisturizer gently hydrates as it leaves skin fresh and clean looking with no shine. It's great for those with oilier skin types. I.e. me.
Oh.
The combination of rosewater, grape polyphenols, and a potent blend of skin-calming essential oils gently exfoliates to smooth away imperfections as it hydrates. Only $39 on goop.com or possibly a French pharmacy.
I would get it in a French pharmacy. I think it'd be cheaper.
I bet.
Yeah.
So I'm going to look for this brand. Yeah. I realize I have oily skin, guys.
I think I have combination.
Combination. I never have. I feel like my face is never dry. It's always just like greasy.
Well.
Yeah. Live and learn.
Yeah.
Well, we covered a lot. We covered the upcoming nuptials of Gwyneth and Brad.
Yes.
We covered our diets. We covered what else? The history of Goop. The history of us. The history of us and Goop together. And this week's newsletter. Did we forget anything?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We might have a couple special things coming up.
Yeah. This is our 100th episode.
In public so we actually do it.
Yeah. Because we're talking about, like, there are a lot of things we've been talking about doing for a while that we haven't done. There are some things that you guys have asked for that we said we were going to do. And we are working on new cool things,
so stay tuned,
please.
And have fun at Gwyneth's wedding. If any of you are going this weekend, we will not be there.
Send,
but we want to hear all about it.
Yeah.
All right,
bye.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.